Hello and welcome to another episode of LWDG Pod Dog. This week we're talking all about help, I don't have time to train my dog properly. I'm sure lots of us have been feeling this with the dark nights, the never-ending rain, and here to talk to me about this topic is LWDG Group Expert Claire Denyer. How are we today, Claire?
Good afternoon, Jo. I'm very good. It has not rained today, which is a big bonus. And I'm kind of hoping that spring is on its way.
Absolutely, me too. And I think we all see a little bit of sunlight and we're like, yes, let's go out. This is the perfect time. Let's talk about, first of all, about how dog training, especially if you're new, can be incredibly overwhelming, especially when we're juggling other responsibilities, Connor.
Yeah, it really can. I think, especially for people that have families, they have jobs, they have other responsibilities, they care for other people. There's a whole multitude of reasons that perhaps people don't have unlimited time to train their dog. And I think sometimes, especially when you look on social media, YouTube, things like that, it can appear that other people are putting in hours and hours and hours of work. And it can make some people that don't have that time feel a little bit like they're maybe not doing enough, or that they're perhaps letting their dog down because they're not doing enough. But actually, that couldn't be further from the truth. And I hope that this podcast will dispel some of those myths today and give people inspiration and help them to understand that it's not about quantity, it's quality in our training.
Yeah, because we had a member recently who said our membership was going like a daily chat, that they felt overwhelmed from the daily chat. They saw all these people doing stuff and posting stuff with their dogs, and they just had this complete sense that they weren't meeting this sort of unseen criteria of how much time you should spend training your dog. So is that something that we see across the board?
Absolutely. I think the thing is, people often worry that they're not making progress at the speed that they should be, and so that they feel like they're obviously not putting in enough time, and that's why they're not making the progress. Sometimes life is just very overwhelming. Perhaps they're not in the right frame of mind to train their dog on that day. And rather than accepting that and thinking, do you know what, I need a day to myself, I need a self-care day, I need a day where I just look after me, and the dog will be okay with that. But often people don't understand that. And I think, you know, this goes back to our podcast that we did called The Age Race, which is one of my favorite podcasts that we've ever done. There's always this pressure that by a certain age the dog should be doing this, or in a certain amount of time the dog should be doing this. And I think it's really important that as trainers and as people that are helping people train their dogs, we're helping people understand that it doesn't have to be like that. That's not the case.
So let's debunk one of the most common dog training myths, which is proper training requires hours each day. Why isn't that true?
Well, firstly, it's not true because every dog is different. And for a lot of dogs, especially young dogs, less is more. Small, short and sweet sessions, the dog retains better information, they're more energized for the training, and it just works better for the dog. There's no harm in going on training days when your dog is of a certain level and when your dog is able to cope with that duration of training. But most dogs, especially most young or novice dogs, cannot keep up that enthusiasm or retain that much information training for a long duration. So it's simply not true. To sort of say that if you can't dedicate hours a day to training your dog, that they're not going to progress. You know, for some dogs, less is more. For some dogs, you know, very short sessions of 10 to 15, 20 minutes is plenty of training time, and is easier to fit into your lifestyle, to your everyday life, than trying to think, well, I've got to train my dog for 3.5 hours today. You know, one of my Labradors, Indy, she's the sort of dog that you could train for hours in a day in her younger years. You know, she's almost 12 now, but in her younger years, she absolutely could have done that. Rose, my 5 years old, she's never been that sort of dog. Less is more with her, and short, sweet training sessions work better for her. long training days don't suit her brilliantly. So, you know, every dog is different. So to blanket a statement like that, I think I've said that sentence correctly, a blanket statement like that doesn't fit all dogs, and every dog is different. And this is what we talk about all the time.
Well, I suppose if you look at like a group training session, or if you have multiple dogs, a lot of dogs aren't all doing exactly the same thing at the same time. So there's a lot of shall we say, downtime where the dog gets to sit back, to chill, to watch, to learn, where they are not actively participating.
So in a group class, you know, depending on the level, we'll have, and I'm talking about a group class, not a training day here, we will have a maximum of 8 dogs in a class, and that's with John and I teaching. And especially in the earlier stages, there's a lot of single dog activity going on, not multiple dogs doing things at the same time, except for basic obedience, but in terms of retrieving. So there's quite a lot of downtime in between doing things, which is an essential part of the dog's training for sure. But also it means that the dog isn't on the go for that whole 2 hours or however long that session is. So the dog is having breaks. And like if I have a client come to me with 2 or 3 dogs, a lot of my handlers have 2 or 3 dogs. They might book an hour and a half or a 2 hour one-to-one session, but that's split between 2, 3, 4 dogs. So they're only sort of training for around half an hour each. So that's not a massive duration of time. So yeah, if you're having a one-to-one, so we do 2 sort of length one-to-ones, one which is a 30 to 45 minute session, which is more for younger puppies that cannot train for an hour. And then we have an hour. But that hour will be broken up. We'll do a bit of chatting about what we're doing, some practical work, some more chatting. Because to train one dog, one single dog for an hour, they have got to have a lot of drive and a lot of stamina. And I don't just mean physically, I also mean mentally, to be able to do that duration of time and do it well.
And I suppose a lot of us forget, and one of our most liked Instagram posts, reels, whatever, which one it is accepting that doing nothing is also training, watching, resting, all those things for the dog. They are still training, even though they might not be incredibly active at that point.
100%. And actually, for some dogs, that's the hardest part of the training. For some dogs, waiting their turn is the hardest part. The handler can't be standing around chatting with other people during that time. They should be focused on their dog, making sure their dog is not getting frustrated, not getting bored, laying down, eating the grass, starting to dig a hole in the field, things like that. So the handler should be actively training the dog during that downtime, helping them build up duration of steadiness, self-control and calm. And that in itself is a massive skill set. And a lot of the time people massively underestimate that. But if you do work in tests or trials or any big training days with your dog, there's a lot of waiting around. And so if you haven't trained your dog for that, then they're going to struggle with that element for sure.
Let's talk about another sort of massive myth, which is you can only train your dogs in like these special training sessions.
Yeah, no, you're training your dog with every interaction. And this is so super important to remember. So you are training your dog. If your dog lives in the home, every minute you spend with your dog, you are training your dog. It is learning whether you like it or not. Sometimes it's things that you don't want them to learn. But you are training your dog with every interaction that you have with that dog. If you just go on a casual walk with your dog, you are training your dog. So that's something that comes up quite a lot. Somebody might come to train with me and they say, Claire, I'm going to be really honest. I haven't had a lot of time to train my dog. And I say, okay, have you still been walking your dog? And they say, yes. And I say, how many times a day? And for most people, that's 1 or 2 times a day. Some people it's 3. and I'll say, okay, so you were training your dog. You were actively training your dog, not just on that walk, but with every interaction you have with your dog day to day. You know, so in the home, if you've asked your dog to do something, You have to follow through and make sure the dog does it. Otherwise, the dog is learning just by their interactions in the home with you that actually your cues, your commands, whatever you want to call them, they're optional. So if your dog learns that in the home, that those cues or commands are optional, well, it's not surprising that they start to have their own mind out on the field when they're training, because they're like, well, in the house, it's optional. You told me to sit and I didn't want to, and you didn't follow through with it. So it's really important to bear in mind that in the home, with every interaction, your dog is learning. They're learning skill sets. They're learning whether or not you mean it, whether you're going to follow through on things that you say. So you do need to keep that in mind.
We covered loads of this last week in our training webinar on Calm on the Couch, Focused in the Field. But I think what we didn't cover like in depth, because we only had an hour to cover quite a lot of training, was like the effectiveness of short, focused training sessions, even like just 5 or 10 minutes, and how you can fit them into your busy schedule.
And you don't even need to go anywhere. So, you know, for instance, if I've got a super, super busy day, a really busy day, and it's like, okay, I haven't got time to take my dog to the field to train for half an hour, 45 minutes, whatever that might be. So I think, right, okay, I'm going to do 2 or 3 short, snappy sessions in the garden, in the house. Maybe I'll take the dog along with me up to the field, and in between one-to-ones, I might get her out for like 15 minutes and do a quick session. But you can fit this in even while you're making a cup of tea or cooking the dinner. You could be training your dog in that time. You know, it could be that you're going through the heel position. It could be that you're doing steadiness. You could be working on hold and delivery. You know, I say to people a lot of the time, some of those foundational things are super important with your advanced stuff. Your advanced stuff will fall apart without that foundational training. But you can fit that in while you're making a cup of tea. Pop the kettle on. Right, I'm going to do 3 minutes, or however long your kettle takes to boil. I'm going to do 3 minutes hold and delivery work. I'm going to work on that. And that's that training session done. It could be later on in the day. Let's just have a think of what you might be doing. Cooking the dinner. Something's in the oven. You've got 15 minutes to kill. And it's like, right, okay, I'm going to do some heel position training. So it's using those opportunities, and that mentally tires your dog out as well. So if you haven't got time to take the dog for a longer walk or to do the sort of level of high activity that you might normally do, you can mentally stimulate your dog and get some really core foundation training in just by fitting it in around your everyday life in the home.
A lot of people see the photos that like I put up on Instagram, and I'm really lucky. I live quite close to the Brecon Beacons, and they all look, I suppose, like I've got this like perfect training area to train in every single time. But the reality of it is, sometimes training for me looks like heel work down a busy road on lead to get to our local like training area. It's just a dog field. We're lucky the council locally has left an area where we can just like run the dogs out. I literally heel work there. I literally do sits when we stop to cross the road, because it is a frantically busy road. When we get in there, I can take them off the lead, and I can do off lead heel work. I can literally go up to the side of the field, find some bushes, throw some stuff in there, get the dogs to bring them back to me, do some retrieves. I can leave. I literally do it pretty regularly. I leave the dog one end, I walk back to the other end of the field and do a recall so that they've had to sit and show some patience, and then they go back on the lead and I walk back. And that literally can be a 10-minute session where I'm like, right, I've got time between this call and this call to at least get out and do that.
Yeah, and that is okay. And I think people get really hung up and they feel like they haven't done enough because it's not been a long enough duration. But actually, if your dog has learned something valuable, it was long enough. It doesn't matter whether it was 3 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. If your dog learned something valuable in that session, if something went right and you and your dog worked as a team, that was a valuable session. It's not about the duration and the time, it's about the quality of that time together. And I think also, like, there might be the odd time, so recently my dog was a bit under the weather, and I had a day where I had some time, and I was like, right, I'm going to take her out and I'm going to do all this training, I'm going to work on my lines and blinds, and I'm going to do some stop whistle work, and I'm going to do this. I got her to the field and she just wasn't feeling the vibe at all, and I read that in her straight away. Now what I could have done was try and, you know, push her into it and be like, no, I've got this time today and I've allocated this time to train you, so we have to train. No, that would have been really disastrous session. It wouldn't have been productive. It wouldn't have got a good end result. So I said, you know what, you're not feeling it. We're going to have a little informal game of fetch. We're just going to have a bit of a game together. And then I'm going to do a little bit of focus heel work with you, some position transitions, because I know you love them. We were done in 11 minutes. 11 minutes, we were done. And I was like, okay, what you've done has been productive. It wasn't what I set out to do. It wasn't what I planned, but it was beneficial because the dog succeeded. And so if I had been pushy and thought, well, no, I have allocated this time today to train you in X, Y, and Z and pushed her, it could have gone really wrong and it could have developed some negative associations with training. It could have flattened her. It could have put her off of doing things even more. And so sometimes it's taking that breath and going, the dog's not feeling this today, and I need to work with my dog, work with the dog in front of me, not about what I want always, you know? And it's just recognizing that.
I suppose if we're not feeling it, sometimes it is better to literally do a 5-minute session and think, okay, I'm going to do something with the dog. I'm really not feeling like the energy for all this right now. So I'll go out now, do this, this, and this, and I will be really incredibly proud of myself for getting that done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. But if you're not feeling it yourself, let's just say the dog is up for it and you're not, and you're feeling really tired, you might not be as enthusiastic with the dog as you normally would be. You might be a bit sloppy on your reward timing because you're not feeling 100%. And that's okay too. You know, so it's not, you know, we have to have a little bit of give and take both for the dog and for the handler. You know, what are we feeling like we can do today? Not I feel great and I don't care if you don't feel great. It's having that understanding. You're a partnership at the end of the day. It's about a partnership.
And I suppose it's that, like, we talk about it quite a lot, that being present and us being as engaged as the dog, because I see it so much when I go to places, not so much with like our type of handlers, but maybe with just pet owners, where they're like on their phone, the dog is off the lead. The dog could be 7 miles away and they wouldn't notice. But they're so disengaged. I think, is it a shock that your dog is disengaged from you when you are absolutely disengaged from the dog?
100%. And yes, this is something we see a lot, you know, Joe Public walking their dogs unaware of what their dogs are doing. They're on their phone, you know, they're not watching the dog, not taking any notice. I'm really strict on that because my time with my dogs is really quality time. I love my time with my dogs, whatever I'm doing in their training. I love it. And even on a walk, I love it. And I know, Joe, before you've messaged me and I'm like, oh, really sorry, Joe, I'm on the field at the moment. You know, I just say to people, really sorry, I'm on the field. And that could be I'm on the field with a client, but equally it could be I'm on the field with my dog because I value the time with my dog. And yeah, you're right. If the handler isn't engaged with the dog because they're busy chatting to somebody else, well, what's in it for the dog being with the handler? Nothing. You know, so there has to be that level engagement. You know, I think for me, when I go out with my dogs, I'm not out to go for a walk and ignore my dog. I'm there to spend that time with my dog. It's like going on a date. My time with my dog is like a date. This is me and you time.
So like I am probably able to talk more than most people about the fact that, like, when Ella was little, she was born in the 2018, and the 2019 dad was diagnosed with terminal cancer, and we went through that process, and quite frankly, I made sure she was fed, I made sure she was watered, I made sure she got time out of the kennels because they were in the kennels so that other people could look after dad's dogs and my dogs, we were back and forth the hospital, or we were dealing with all those things. And like, I was probably did more damage at that time. But the reality was, I didn't have it in me to train that dog the way it should be needed. But looking at that now, she's five. Is there issues that were long-term cause? I think so, yes. But have there been issues that have been so insurmountable that it's not fun? Not at all.
Absolutely. Dogs recover from things really well. They do. And I think both ways, Joe, you know, had you said, I'm not in the right frame of mind to do this, she would get over that. But equally, if you wanted to push on and do it and mistakes were made, dogs do get over it. Dogs, I think we don't always appreciate just how forgiving and resilient our dogs are. You know, they live in the moment with us. They don't hold a grudge. You know, the next day, they're not remembering, well, yesterday you did this, you know, in the training, you were really rubbish and you mismarked me and you didn't reward me on time. The dogs don't hold on to those things. And so they're more forgiving than we give them credit for. They really are.
I think, I suppose, it's a little bit like riding a bike as well. If I was given a bike and said, like, can you ride it today? I'd probably be a little bit like, I know how to do this perfectly, but right now I know I'm going to be shaky. But if I did it for a few days, all those memories come flooding back, don't they?
They do. They really do. Yeah, they really do. I think for you, I think your dogs are therapy, aren't they? They are therapy.
Yeah.
They are for me too.
Absolutely. Like, as much as I want them to be wonderful, it's not as important to me as it is to spend time out with them. So even when Ella's doing particularly crap on a day, she frustrates me, but almost in a way that's part of the therapy session, because the therapy session for me is being present with the dogs and not able to think about something else. So I can't be thinking about all my other worries in my life if I'm thinking where she bogged off to with that dummy. But, you know, and I look at it sometimes and I think the challenges they give me are definitely half the therapy.
100% agree. You know, when I think about the time I spend with my dogs, and it doesn't always go right. But you're right. Well, even when things go wrong, that's part of the therapy, the troubleshooting, the getting over stuff, building resilience in ourselves as a person, as well as building resilience in the dogs. So, yeah. And I think, you know, being able to have a sense of humor about it as well is really important, you know, and being able to laugh when something maybe doesn't go quite right and just go, we'll just try again, shall we? That wasn't brilliant. Instead of getting angry or frustrated about it, we can learn to have dogs. Training dogs can give us such a sense of patience, help us to develop patience. That's where I was trying to think of the word, but it's patience. They can help us learn to be patient. If we learn to have a bit of a sense of humour, it really helps.
Yeah, it can all look very serious. And if you're new and you're trying to come to it with a very serious mind, the reality of it is, whatever dog you've got is going to very, very quickly teach you, you're not going to have fun training with that mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I think when you take it too seriously, the dog feels that, you know, you change everything about the way you are with the dog when you're feeling stressed or anxious, and so the dog senses that, and it affects the dog's performance as well. So, you know, sometimes you just have to give yourself a little slap around the face and come on, put yourself together. Let's just do this. We're a team, and not take it too seriously. And, you know, the thing is, yes, I said have a sense of humor. Of course, when you're training and you want to compete and you want to do this, there's an element of what you want to achieve. And that's absolutely fine. It's great to have goals and to have things you want to achieve with your dog, as long as it's not to the detriment of the relationship between you and your dog. And you're not putting that pressure on your dog as well. And that's where the time factor comes into it as well. I think especially when people are training for a thing, whether it be a working test or a trial or something like that, they can start to increase the duration of the training rather than the quality of the training. And they change how they handle the dog because they're feeling stressed and pressured.
Yeah, and I suppose, like, if we look at it in terms of any other competition, you put too much time in and it's detrimental. And the fact that you are so tired, you are so exhausted, you are actually now doing more damage than you're doing good. It's about finding that optimum time to get the optimum results, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And that's where it comes right back full circle to the beginning of what we're talking about, where we were saying short and sweet is better. Leave your dog wanting more. This came up on the society group, a question recently. And the question was actually, the dog was a reluctant retriever. Sorry, I stuttered a little bit there. The dog was a reluctant retriever. And that the owner was asking about should the dog have free access to toys and things like this. And the thing is, every dog is different is the first thing you have to say. Every dog is different, so it depends. It depends on a lot of things. But generally speaking, if your dog is a reluctant retriever or has retrieving issues, what you want to be mindful of is that you're not allowing the dog to have too much free time with things that the dog may deem a retrieve, getting into bad habits like walking off, chewing it, dropping it, not giving it back to you, hiding behind the sofa with it, and also devaluing what the retrieve is, because the dog goes, well, I'm out here in this exciting field. I've got all this stuff going on around me and you want me to retrieve that thing, but I have access to something just like that at home 24/7. So why on earth, when I could be off exploring over there, why would I put the effort into doing this now? Because when I get home, I can do that anyway. Right now, I'd rather do this. So it's thinking outside the box about, you know, your home life. And this does come back to your teaching your dog with every interaction. You're training your dog with every moment. Everything your dog does in the home will have a outcome on the training that you're doing out in the field. So it's thinking about that kind of thing. So, you know, when my dogs are adult dogs, they don't tend to have things around the house. When they're puppies or young dogs, or they're just having a bit of downtime, I might give them appropriate chew items. But none of those things look or feel like things I might actually do training and play with my dog, because I don't want to devalue those items. And also, I don't want the dog to go, yeah, but I have access to them things anyway, so why should I do this out here for you now? And I don't want them getting into bad habits. So in a multi-dog household, if you've got dogs that perhaps are a little bit resource guardy, or they keep mugging the other dog for the thing, they're actually getting into bad habits in the home that are going to affect your training on the field. So that just goes to show how much what you do with your dog in the home and what your dog does in the home reflects on what the training on the field. So that training with every interaction, that training is constant. What the dog is learning day to day, you can't stop that. That's what they're learning.
I suppose I was quite fascinated watching that competition, because in our group I see pretty much everything, and I look and I think, and I learn definitely from people's comments, but even down to the amount of different comments that are given shows you the different ways people look at training.
Yeah, 100%, because the reason that my dogs have appropriate chew items in the home, and there's always more items than there is dogs, because I want my dogs to learn, there's not a shortage of resources. So nobody's got to mug anyone else for anything. There's enough to go around. In fact, there's more than enough to go around. But what I don't want is, let's just say Jeannie, my puppy, is running around with a couple of toys, and then the adult dogs pick them up and they start having a tug of war with them. I don't want that to be a thing they're going to do on the field with a dummy or a bird, for goodness sake. You know, you've got to be really mindful about what the dog is learning in every interaction. And so, yeah, my dogs have indoor play toys, but they come out at playtime. Now, that playtime might just be me or John and the dogs, or it could be all of the dogs with us. But at the end of playtime, all of those toys get put away. So nobody's learning bad habits, and nothing's kind of happening that's detrimental to the final goal of life with the dog.
And the reality is that playtime that you're on about there is actually training time.
Absolutely. The dogs are learning through play. And so I want them learning the right things through play, you know, not the wrong things, you know. So you have to be so mindful with that sort of thing. And it's just thinking ahead and outside of the box rather than just thinking, well, it's just this moment. Think further than that. What actually is my dog learning to do from this interaction, from this experience?
Hopefully, if you started listening to this podcast and thought, I feel the same too, I don't have time to train my dog properly, I'm hoping that's now changed into, like, I've got this, and so did my dog, because every little bit counts, doesn't it? Whether on a lead, in a field, doing it formally, or just, like we were just discussing, playing in the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, we all feel the pressure sometimes, you know, I haven't done enough, I haven't done this, I was going to do that and I haven't done it. Think quality, not quantity. And if you don't manage to do everything that's on the list, as long as the things you have done have been done with purpose and been done for the best outcome for the dog and the dog has learned something valuable for it, then that's absolutely fine. Quality over quantity. But the most important thing for me is when I train my dog, whether it's in the house, in the garden, on the field, whatever it is, that interaction with the dog is done with purpose and it's done with an end in mind. And I think if everybody can kind of think about that, you know, and remember, I am training my dog with every interaction. I do have time to train my dog, because I'm training it every time I interact with it. You're training your dog. So don't feel bad if you don't get time to do these long duration training sessions. You're training your dog.
Fabulous. Thank you for another wonderful episode, Claire. Listeners, please subscribe, listen to our other podcasts, because lots of things that we cover, they sort of start putting themselves together like a jigsaw. You learn from one, you learn from another, and you start seeing the bigger picture. And please feel free to join the conversation online on our website. Go for our free content, and there will be a link to this podcast and a little bit more written text to help you on this topic. There are our other resources, like our Hot Mess Handler course, which is a standalone course that will help you to understand what it is that you need to be doing with your dog. That's a 9-week foundational course that you can work through at your own pace to make sure that you have all the basics covered. Or of course, if you are a lady, you can join us within our membership. Talk to me, talk to Claire, talk to our other amazing experts. Join us in our training days, join us in our virtual training, and we are there to help you all the way. Thank you all for your time. Thank you for your time, Claire.
Thank you, Joe, for having me back.
Every week, Claire, every week is absolutely fantastic. I absolutely learn so much, like from a personal perspective, from these conversations. Had I not had access to all of the experts, I don't think at certain points I would have kept going, because I felt so overwhelmed with things like this. I don't have time to train. That had you not been there to sort of, you know, bang my head against the dogs, literally, and just say, we've both got time to do this, I don't think I would have kept on going. So thank you for that. It is massively appreciated. And listeners, I hope that you join me and Claire and our other experts and our guests next week for another episode of Found It, Fetched It. Between now and then, if you need more help or more advice, please go to our links. You can get all of our free recordings, all of our free resources for you to download, available right now today. Goodbye.